and welcome. Richard from VegGrow Podcast. This is episode 157, 157. It's the 26th of February, 2018. And today's podcast title is Edible Indoor Plants. Now, coming up today, I have the diary where I discuss what I have been doing on the plots this last week. After that, we should take a look at what the calendar recommends to do for the WISP next week. And then after that, I want to discuss some of my edible indoor plants. Now, I have to say that the beast from the east has certainly made it very cold outside. Over the weekend, it was pretty cold, but it was nice and sunny. Today, still nice and sunny, but it has really, really dropped in temperature. And it certainly looks like it's going to stay cold till the end of the week. But what did make me laugh, I'm looking at the weather maps just the other day, and they were showing where they predicted snow to arrive, or snow to fall. As you know, I live in a town called Littlehampton in West Sussex. We have pretty mild weather and we very rarely get snow. Looking at these maps, it avoids us completely. We get it to the east, west, north. To the south, we have the English Channel. And literally everywhere else, the snow has gone around us. Typical. It makes me laugh. Probably many people out there are actually glad not to get snow, but I certainly would like a bit of snow for photography reasons, if anything. Anyway, let's get on with the diary, or the plog, as I kind of trying to call it. Anyway, something I've been attending to after work last week has been my allotment hoe. Now, I brought this home with me from the allotment to give it a bit of TLC. This hoe I've had probably for about 15 years, and I bought it second hand from a car boot, probably for a pound. I can't remember how much, but yeah. It won't be more than a pound, which is a pretty good return of investment. Now, I do like to look after my tools, and this hoe it needed a bit of TLC. First thing I did was I just got rid of all the nicks and the unevenness out of the blade on just by grinding it off on my bench grinder and giving a nice, flat, even edge. I then ground the sharp edge back into it, giving it a really nice riser sharp edge. After that, I then rubbed linseed oil into the handle, and I would do this every evening. It only took a few minutes, but I just rubbed oil into the handle, allowing the oil, this linseed oil, allowing that to soak into the wooden handle. And as I was applying it, I was actually holding it over my bucket of oily sand that I keep in the shed. I use this oily sand to basically clean all my tools after I've used them. But yeah, that's treated that really well and looks really, really good. And it will make, by keeping it sharp and giving it a really nice edge, although I sharpen it as I use it anyway, but it will make hoeing a lot easier and do a better job. And by oiling up the handle, it's going to make it'll stop the handle from going brittle and last longer. Something I like to do every year, really. Something else I did was I brought a tub of liquid organic seaweed feed. And I've added a capful of this to a watering can in the greenhouse. And as I watered everything, I used it to feed my plants in there. Particularly my onion seedlings, and they have really perked up since doing that, so that was well worth doing. Saturday morning, I headed down to the allotment, and I started by doing a lot of weeding, just pulling the weeds out, particularly clumps of couch grass. However, when I removed one clump, I actually uncovered a common lizard. I actually took a photo of this before putting the grass back. I felt really privileged to see one of these wizards. They're called common. They're actually quite rare these days. It's a shame because they do a lot of good in the garden. They're a natural predator. So, well good. After that, I built more of the edging on my big plot. And actually, I got a lot further than I thought I would have done. I've got one side now left to make, but it's 3/4 of the way built, and I'm really happy with that and how things are progressing on the allotment. After that, I actually watered some of my plants, such as the garlic and onions. It may seem a little bit early to start watering them, but we haven't really had rain for over a week, but we have had a lot of winds which just dry out the soil and wick up the moisture. So I thought I'll just give everything a good watering, and that should help. After that, I headed home and I actually tended to my indoor plants, giving them a bit of a tidy up and checking the roots, but I'll discuss that a bit later. Sunday, I spent the day at home and I continued building my quail aviary that I've been building over the last few weeks. It's nearly there. It's coming together really nicely, actually. I'll actually be really glad to get it finally built and remove the quail from the indoor cage to the outdoor quail aviary. Give them a bit more space and chance to fly around, hopefully, as well. After that, I pricked out some of my chilli seedlings and my onion seedlings. They were sown a few weeks ago. They were at the stage that they literally did need moving on. And hopefully they will now grow bigger and bigger. I then sowed some peas, a variety called Early Onward that I bought from Wilkinson's last year. I sowed some of these in November and they've grown over the winter. But these are designed to grow as an early variety. So I thought I'd give them a try. We'll see how they get on and compare them to other varieties. I also sowed some sweet pepper and chilli seeds, two varieties of sweet peppers called Macaroni and Sweet Colour, two varieties of chilies called Early Jalapeno and Hot Snake Chilies. Now I love my chilies, so different varieties are always welcome. And all these chilies and peppers, they've gone into heated propagator number one, and the peas are in the greenhouse, and when I get to the next stage, they will be moved on, as always. So that is the diary up to date. Now let's take a look at the calendar and see what that suggests to do this week. It says, this is an ideal time to visit flower shows and gardens to see new bulb varieties that you may want to plant yourself in autumn. Remove faded flower heads from daffodils to prevent seeds from forming. Don't remove the leaves, let them die back naturally so bulbs aren't weakened. Personally, I am not aware of any flower shows this week. But to be honest, I haven't really been looking into them. But if you know of any, get in touch and let me know. Now, indoor plants. I've noticed the last few weeks they've been mentioned quite a bit in various media things. And I think this is going to identify that there's a resurgence of interest into indoor plants. And it made me realise that I actually grow some edible plants indoors and I don't really talk about them much. Now obviously right back when I lived in my little studio flat, I used to grow herbs and microgreens and even sprouting edibles such as bean sprouts on my windowsills there. To be honest, I even had tomatoes and chilies grown on windowsills. But now I've got a house where I don't really need, where I've got plenty of room outside, I should say. I don't do so much of the tomatoes and chilies, but the herbs and recently the microgreens again, they certainly do grow and they do prove pretty successfully. However, they're nothing special, what I've said so far, are they? But a couple of years ago, I bought a coffee plant and a tea plant. And I've been growing these with a view to make my own tea leaves and coffee beans. Now, the coffee beans, they might be a bit of a dream, but the tea leaves, they've certainly proven successful. To add to these, last year I bought turmeric and cardamom. And I like these plants. I like the foliage. They're quite attractive. I like the idea of growing my own turmeric and cardamom because I use both of those. They've created some really interesting conversations, but they're really not frost tolerant. So growing them indoors is ideal. In fact, the cardamom is probably best grown in a bathroom because it likes a lot of humidity. So that's another advantage of growing certain plants indoors. Now, I do believe that growing indoors opens up many possibilities. If you think about it, we heat our houses to keep us warm. We have lighting, and that's all creating microclimates that plants like. In many ways, we're starting the seasons earlier, or we are not even going through winter, which many plants, such as the tropical plants, will love. And to be honest, the care for indoor plants isn't much different to the outdoor plants. The biggest difference, I would say, is watering. They don't obviously can't drain like you would in the ground. So what I tend to do is I keep each plant, they're either on a saucer or a container of some kind, and the plant is actually in a flower pot inside these. When I water, I just pour water into the saucer or container, so as that kind of waters from the bottom and allows the water to soak up through the compost. I tend to do that at night, so as the next morning, any water that hasn't been soaked up gets poured away. Now, how often I water does depend on the season, but even in winter, many plants actually indoors actually need a lot of watering. Probably every couple of weeks in most plants, some will die back but come back. But again, tailor each to each plant. Come springtime, obviously watering is increased, probably once a week. I also like to start feeding in around spring, and I just use my wormery feed, which I just add a quite a weak solution when I water. In the summer, obviously watering would be a bit more regular, twice a week possibly. Again, depends on the plant. And how much, again, depends on the plant. Best way to tell is if the soil looks dry, increase your watering. But what I also like to do in the summer is actually move the plants outside every now and then. I tend to do this in the morning, and I will get a watering can full of water and water from above, so even the foliage gets a lashing of water. And what that does is it just cleans off all the dust that might be on the leaves. And that dust is basically preventing light from getting to the leaves. So it's you're kind of dusting your plants. Now, once a year, I do like to remove the plants from a pot and inspect its roots. I'm looking at the roots, seeing if they're looking a bit congested or if they need to go on to a bigger pot. I'm also looking for certain bugs and things, something like a vine weevil, which can live indoors. Because it's warmer for them, they won't get killed off as much. So it's worth just investigating and checking you haven't got anything like that. The reality of growing plants indoors is that it's no different to growing plants outdoors. You tailor everything to each individual plant. You may have a good collection of indoor plants. One that I really want to do, and I've been trying for years, is ginger. Now, I've always bought ginger from a root growing zone. I've never managed to get it to grow. But I want to buy a whole ginger plant and try growing it from that way. Other ones that I have grown, but I tend to leave outside now, are my citrus plants. Oranges, lemons, and things like that. Really, the whole world of indoor edible plants is pretty huge, and there's a lot to think about. As you know, I'm all about growing food, and I don't really like growing anything that doesn't produce food or have a use. So if I'm growing indoors, why not make it edible? That's my whole thing. So I'm going to wrap up this show. It's a bit of a short one, I'm afraid. It's actually the second time I've recorded it. The first time I recorded it, I didn't have the correct microphone turned on, and I was editing it thinking it sounded awful, then I realised. So I've kind of belted through this so I can get this edited and uploaded and out. Anyway, so let's wrap up. Anything you have to add, please get in touch, and I'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to visit my blog site at thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. And until next time, please take care, and I will speak to you all again then.